The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these signs begin to happen, stand erect and raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness in the anxieties of daily life, and that day catch you by surprise like a trap. For that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. Be vigilant at all times, and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent, and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise the word of God.
Good morning, everyone. Wonderful and beautiful to be together this day. Today it is first Sunday of Advent. Advent, Advenians, means coming toward. We know that everything in the Christian life, everything in reality, not only in our personal lives, but all of history, everything that has been created, anything that has ever existed, has a singular goal. The goal of all of history is to be claimed by Jesus Christ. And when God has claimed all things in His Son, for God to be all in all. And today, this first Sunday of Advent, we stand at the beginning of our liturgical year. It is a new year in the life and the mission of the Church. And the whole Church wants us to stand with the saints and with the holy ones to keep our eyes fixed on Christ. We know that life can wear us down. Sometimes we can feel worn out. We know that the anxieties and the tribulations of our daily lives, can make us lukewarm in the faith. So the Church begins this new year with an uncompromising, totally brilliant and luminous beginning. What matters is Christ. What is to be first, always and everywhere and everything we do is Jesus Christ. Everything is to begin in Him. Everything is to abide in Him. And everything is to find in Him its perfection and its completion. And my brothers and sisters, when we abide in Christ Jesus, when we are totally surrendered to Him, then we are living in that one thing that lasts. The Church wants us to be realistic. And what lasts in this life are those things that perdure into the next. And we know that God is love. And the mission of the whole Church, of all the gifts, of all the charisms, of all the sacraments, is to transform our hearts until they become one with His heart that is a burning furnace of love. And so the Lord begins today to speak to us about the last things, the goal of our Christian existence, and the goal of everything that the Church gives us. The final judgment of the coming of Christ in the end, when He will set all things right, is for us not an occasion of fear, although it should inspire a holy fear. Above all, it is an occasion of hope. It is hope because God has decided that He will renew all things. And we look at the grave injustices of the world, of the suffering innocence of all times. We look at our own lives, the things that have not been reconciled, things that seem to have slipped through our fingers as we experience our own poverty, of time passing on, it seems quicker and quicker each day. of there not being enough time to spend with our loved ones and to reconcile or say those things that we desire to say. We come before the Lord in total poverty. It is a realization that in the end, only He can set things right. But my brothers and sisters, the good news is that's exactly what He desires to do. According to St. Cyril of Jerusalem, there are two great comings of the Lord. The first coming, which we will celebrate on Christmas Day, He comes in hiddenness, in simplicity, in poverty. And in this coming that we commemorate today, His coming at the end of time, He will come visibly and publicly. He will come to us as the Lord of all creation. He will come to us as Christ, the universal King and High Priest. And my brothers and sisters, it is God who will set things right. Another way of talking about setting things right, the word that we use to talk about setting things right, is justice. But the justice of God is not, strictly speaking, the justice of man. Justice is not something first that we create. Justice is not first something that we do. Because God is justice. God is just. And so our first reading from the prophet Jeremiah chapter 3 comes from these four chapters that have been commented upon as the book of restoration. When Israel is in exile and Israel has lost everything, the Lord God makes a promise that the just one will come. He will raise up a sprout from the root of Jesse, and He will set things right. So much so that He will wed Jerusalem to Himself. So the new city of Jerusalem will be the bride of the Messiah, so that the name of the city will no longer be her own name, but she will bear the name that the Lord is our justice. She'll be transformed and permeated by the justice, the tzedakah Adonai, the justice and the holiness of God. And so the first disposition of a just world, the first requirement of justice is humility, is a humble and contrite heart. We have lived through centuries, including the most previous century and the one that we have begun, where man has been trying to set things right in his own terms. And my brothers and sisters, that is perhaps the greatest injustice. The eclipse of God in our world is ultimately the eclipse of man. And the way that the light shines in the darkness is when our hearts become meek and humble like the Lord's. When we submit ourselves totally to God, not primarily out of servile fear, but out of simplicity and meekness, and knowing that He is love, and that it is His love that is justice. My brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus teaches us today to stand erect with our heads high, waiting for Him to come. And yet He also says to take courage, for our hearts not to be drowsy, because we will stand before the Son of Man. That means that with the universal judgment, with the resurrection of all flesh, with the resurrection from the dead that makes all things new, each of us also will have to come to terms with God face to face. It means that there is a personal and particular judgment for us, where anything that is not of God, anything that has not been chosen, that has not been inspired by God, must be burned and consumed by God Himself so that we can be one with Him. That purification becomes an act of God's love, so that the saints could see that God comes to us in a heart set with fire. So the purifying fire, the fire that purges us as we are on the journey to see God face to face, is the love of God. My brothers and sisters, with hope and with judgment that await us, there is also a path that has been given to us. And this is the path that St. Paul has set out for us in his first letter to the Thessalonians. The first letter to the Thessalonians is the first historically written piece of sacred scripture in the New Testament. Probably written in the year 51, Paul's first letter. And it is all about hope. It is all about the eager and joyful expectation of Jesus Christ. And this is so important to us as Christians that this is how we begin the whole year. Eager expectation of Christ is to be the inspiring principle of everything in the life of the church. in the sacraments and our works of mercy and our works of justice and hope. Because we await Jesus Christ with our eyes fixed on Him, we know that in His love we can endure all things. And my brothers and sisters, St. Paul says, by receiving the Lord's love, our hearts will be strengthened to abound in His surpassing love, so that we can stand before God blameless in His holiness, awaiting the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now what St. Paul has done, and what our Lord has done in His own words, is to rewrite Daniel chapter 7, the glorious vision of the coming of the Son of Man who approaches the throne of the Most High. And it is the Son of Man who comes in glory and in power, who comes for His holy ones, for His saints. And St. Paul is telling us that the way that we prepare for His coming is love. Love is the way that we prepare for Christ. Love is the kingdom of God. Love is God's justice. Love is what renews us and forgives us. And so love becomes the sacred anointing that prepares us to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Another way of saying that in Scripture is for us to stand blameless before God. St. Paul is telling the Thessalonians, and he's telling us, that we are to be a kingdom of priests, that our offering, our fitting sacrifice of praise, is Christ Himself. That we desire Christ to be born, for Christ to come at the end of time in His glory, and we desire to anticipate His coming by allowing Christ to dwell in the poverty, in the humility, in the simplicity, in the total freedom of the manger of our hearts.